country lost a great alim, one of the innovative scholars in the sense that he was the first to introduce the answering of questions on the internet, and the country is certainly poorer for the loss of Mufti Ibrahim Desai. I bet that there may have been many of you out there who were searching for Masla, and all you did was visit the Ask Imam website, and you were able to find the answer to that. Mullah Wajah, at any stage, did you have to look for any Masla and then refer to the website and find the answer?
Gee, Mufti Sahab, there was, I mean, we're very fortunate we have you here, right? Whenever we have questions, we just have to refer them to you. But there were many times, many, many times, and people had asked me questions, and sometimes we decided, let's do a little bit of research ourselves. And the easiest port of call was to go into the Ask Imam website, and, you know, it's categorized in whichever different types of masail you're looking for, whether it's something regarding fasting, zakat, salah, etc. There's many different categories there, and it was so easy. You just had to go on there and you'd search, you'd find a question very similar to what you're looking for, and the answer would come up immediately. And then together with that, Mufti Sahab, I think that the thing that benefited us a lot and made things very much easier for us is the confidence that we had in Mufti Sahab. You know, when you read that answer, then you felt that sense of ease that, okay, I got the answer to the question that I asked, and it's from a very reputable scholar, which obviously made it much more easier for us.
Yes, certainly. And this morning we focus on the legacy of Mufti Ibrahim Desai, rahimahumullah, in terms of his contribution to Islamic commerce and Islamic finance. Mufti Sahab was part of a number of projects and a number of initiatives that he had endorsed. And for many of these, he had outlined how things should be operated. We now welcome to the program the son of marhum Mufti Ibrahim Desai. We welcome to the program Mufti Ismail Desai, a scholar in his own right, who has also taken the lead in Islamic finance. He is also part of the GIFS, Global Islamic Financial Services. Welcome to the program, Mufti Ismail. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti Sahab, and the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam.
Once again, Mufti Sahab, we'd like to extend our condolences to the family. There has been a program before this on the airways of Radio Islam, but we still continue to reel in the shock of the demise, and as well as, you know, feel the vacuum that has been left behind. May Allah Rabbul Izzah reward Mufti Ibrahim Desai Sahab abundantly. May Allah grant the family sabrun jameel.
I mean, indeed, a very, very great loss to the entire Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we remember the ayat of the Quran, "Kullu nafsin da'iqatul maut," that every soul shall taste death. And we also remember our death in the death of our beloved and respected father, Murshid and Ustad, rahmatullah alayh.
Mufti Ismail, perhaps you could begin by briefly describing your father's academic background and his main outstanding academic qualities.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم. Firstly, I would like to state that I am not ahal and capable of describing such a great pious wali and academic that has passed on, but inshallah we will attempt to narrate some of his wonderful accolades and his academic background. My father was born in the year 1963 to a very poor family of a poor background, and my marhum dada Haji Chota Mota rahmatullah alayh was based in Richmond. He was an ordinary taxi driver, yet he was one of the first disciples of Haji Baipadia rahmatullah alayh in the work of Jamaat and Tabligh in South Africa. And there are many, many stories that one can narrate of our marhum dada rahmatullah alayhi, Haji Chota Mota rahmatullah alayhi. So my father, with those humble beginnings and background, attended the Waterfall Hibs Seminary of marhum Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, who is well known, and under him many, many huffaz, senior ulama of this country, had completed their Hibs under Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. So my father then completed his Hibs Hifz al-Quran at Waterfall Madrasa. Thereafter, my marhum dada haji chota mota rahmatullah ali, whose sheikh was Morana Badri Alam Sahib rahmatullah ali, a very great and pious personality, had advised my dada haji chota mota rahmatullah ali to send his four sons and make them ulama. So with that advice, my grandfather, my dada, sent my father and his brother, Maulana Muhammad Desai, Damat Barakatum, to Dabel in India, which is a town in the state of Gujarat in northwestern India. And under this seminary, my father had studied the great works of Hadith, Fiqh, Islamic jurisprudence, and other seminal works of great and pious scholars. Among his ustads included Hazrat Mufti Ahmed Khan Puri Sahib, Damat Barakatun, who is the most senior Khalifa of the late Grand Mufti of India, Hazrat Mufti Mahmudul Hassan Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, who was the disciple of Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali. So my father had received much guidance from Hazrat Mufti Ahmed Khan Puri Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum. He had also studied under Hazrat Mufti Ismail Kacholvi Sahib, Hazrat Morana Yusuf Kavi Sahib, and Hazrat Morana Saeed Buzruk Sahib, all based in Dabel in India. After he had completed his Alim course, he then studied for 2 years under the tutelage and the expert tutelage of Hazrat Mufti Ahmed Khan Puri Sahib, where he had completed his Iftar course. And there are many recollections of his very studious nature. And I would just like to mention 3 incidents. The first incident was that he never ever left the madrasa gates. And he only left the madrasa gates once when he had to return home to South Africa. Such was his studious nature. Secondly, is that he was always engaged in mutala to such an extent that the intizam and the administration of the madrasa provided him and granted him with his own room so that he can focus on his studies. And thirdly, it is mentioned that Hazrat Mufti Ahmed Khan Puri Sahib, when he was the nazim and the administrator of the madrasa, he would wake up the students in the early days and he would not knock on my father's door, because he knew that my father would be engaged in mutala the entire night, right up to Fajr Salah. So that was his studious nature. After completing the Iftar course, he then studied for 1 year under the great and expert tutelage of Hazrat Mufti Mahmudul Hassan Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullahi. And he had also taken bayat by Hazrat Mufti Mahmudul Hassan Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullahi. And after he had completed this training, spending time in the Khanka and Gango, then my father narrated a dream to Hazrat Mufti Mahmudul Hassan Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. And the dream was that he was seen boxing with Shaitan, but he could never defeat Shaitan. So Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali narrated and interpreted this dream and mentioned that inshallah you will defeat Shaitan. So this was the khush khabri and basharat that the late Grand Mufti of India gave to my father himself. Thereafter, when my father returned to South Africa, Hazrat Mufti Mahmudul Hassan Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, the late Grand Mufti of India, then had done his nikah. And he then mentioned to my father that I am giving you 2 khush khabris and I'm giving you 2 good news today. The first news is the good news upon your nikah. And the second good news is that I am giving you khilafat and I am now making you my vice gerent in South Africa, that you are now my Khalifa. So with those du'as and the pious du'as of the Akabir of India and the late Grand Mufti of India, Hazrat Mufti Mahmudul Hassan Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, who is also buried in South Africa, He then moved on and proceeded and he started teaching at Madrasa Ta'alimuddin in Isipingo Beach. And in 1994, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and other senior ulama then appointed my father to head the Iftar department of the Jamiatul Ulama KZN. From that time, right up till his passing away, he completed and he executed this task and this duty given by Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab Rahmatullah Ali would great amount of diligence, focus and expertise. Thereafter, in the year 2000, my father left Madrasa Ta'alimuddin. He went to Madrasa Inamiya Camperdown, where he was the Sheikh al-Hadith for 10 years. And he had also set up the Darul Ifta, and he had officially started teaching students the Ifta course, where students become Muftis. In the year approximately 2003-2004, and one of the first students was Mufti Bilal Qasim Sahab, who is a senior Ustad of Hadith in Darul Uloom, Newcastle. In the year 2010, my father left Madrasa Inamiya Camperdown and he moved to Durban, where he established the Darul Ifta Mahmoodiya. And this Darul Ifta Mahmoodiya, alhamdulillah, with the fadal and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many, many Muftis have graduated from all over the world in different parts, including Trinidad, USA, Canada, Australia, Kenya, UK, Belgium, Netherlands, France, etc. And he was teaching, or he taught, the Bukhari Sharif, the Sahih al-Jami'u Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, in two madrasas, in Madrasa Nu'maniya and in Madrasa Hamidiya. Alhamdulillah, I also had the good fortune to be one of his first students in Madrasa Nu'maniya, where he taught me the Sahih al-Bukhari. So this is in brief the academic background of my father. Now I would like to mention some of his amazing academic qualities and achievements. And, you know, really this program sums up the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, Al-mar'u ma man habba. When the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they mentioned to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, you know, you have such a great daraja and position. Imagine on the day of Qiyamah, we will be right at the bottom, and you will be you will be on such a high and ultra maqam. So Rasulullah ﷺ then mentioned, Al-mar'u ma'amad habba. That don't worry, that a person will be with those whom he loves on the day of Qiyamah. So inshallah, that we are all gathered here, albeit in a different setting, and inshallah through the love for Walid Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that we will be all be gathered on the day of Qiyamah in Jannah, inshallah. Some of his amazing qualities include his great zuhud and taqwa. To such an extent, his taqwa was to such an extent, and his ihtiyat and precaution was to such an extent, that whenever he would go to a mall or shopping center, etc., he would never ever enter the shopping center. Instead, he would tell us that, buy for me a coffee, buy for me a chocolate, I will continue my work, and inshallah, that I will also earn the rewards of correcting the students' istiftas and questions and answers, or he would make mutala of some kitab, and he would say to us that I am depositing this for the akhirah. So, and sometimes he would spend 2 to 3 hours sitting in the car in that position, making mutala, etc. On one occasion, he was forced to enter the mall to review a sample for the umrah. And he moved with such vigor through the mall that one would think he was fleeing from something. And thereafter, I inquired from him that, why did you move with such vigor through the mall? So he said that these are the dens of shaitan, and I do not want to be entrapped in the dens of shaitan. Such was his zuhud and taqwa. Secondly, is that he had great adab and respect for his asatiza, to such an extent that he would go out of his way to even take care of his ustad's family, relatives, and relations. And one of our great scholars of South Africa, Hazrat Maulana Suleiman Choksi Sahab Daman Barakatum, who is a senior ustad of hadith in Darul Uloom Zakariya, he himself was the ustad of my Walid Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, and he called me after Walid Sahab passed away, and he actually cried on the phone. So imagine that the ustad cries for the student. That was the great amount of respect that was between the student and the ustad, and the trust that was placed by the ustad upon the student also. Thirdly, my father never ever considered himself in anything. He was a selfless person, and this is where we learn from the ayat of the Quran, يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا, that describing the pious servants of Allah, that they give preference to others over themselves. that they are selfless people. And I am testament to many of these incidents where my father would take out large amounts of money and give it away to people. He never had any love for this dunya. On one occasion, he mentioned to me that I am a pauper. I got nothing. I got zero in my account. Maybe inshallah Allah will give you all barakah. So this is how he lives his life. And this brings me to the one incident of Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, who was the late Grand Mufti of Pakistan. When he was about to pass away, he called his two sons, who are today Hazrat Mufti Rafi Sahib and Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, and he mentioned to them that you see that glass, you see that kurta, I am telling you now that before I pass away, that glass and that kurta doesn't belong to me. I will leave this world, even the clothes that I have on my body, it will not belong to me. Because I do not want to get hisab kitab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And this is how my father also lived his life, that he passed away with nothing. Fourthly, is that my father would have extreme amount of hospitality for each one of his guests. And many guests are testament to that, that he would go out of his way to be hospitable to them. And one scholar from Johannesburg, Maulana Shakir Sahib, had mentioned to me, and he had narrated this incident, that my father did not know him, and he mentioned to him that I will give you a lift. He invited Maulana Shakir Sahib, took him to the Darul Ifta, fed him, and showered upon him complete and total hospitality upon him. Fifthly, is my father had great amount of tawadu and humility. He would never ever impress upon anyone with his knowledge. And he always hid himself from exposing his great knowledge to people. And he would always mention, and he would always quote the incident of Hazrat Mufti Mahmud al-Hassan Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi Sheikh, wherein his Sheikh mentioned that those who have any amount of pride and arrogance in them, they should go to the toilet and see what they excrete and understand what is their reality. That we are just people who move around with excreta. Fifthly, is that my father had great amount of jazba for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any programs, etc., he would be ready to avail himself, etc. Lastly, is my father, rahmatullahi alayhi, had great amount of love and he attracted the hearts of people. And I would just like to quote one or two incidents regarding this quality of my father, that my uncle and my father's eldest brother narrates his incident, Haji Saeed, he narrates his incident and he says that at one point he was so busy with a business meeting that when I phoned in and told Hazrat, if you're busy, I will call later. So immediately my father called my uncle, Haji Saeed, he dropped his pen and he said, I will give you, Mota, my undivided attention immediately. So he had the highest respect for anyone, that is, even his eldest brother, he would immediately give full and undivided attention. And Haji Saeed mentions that on one occasion, that Mufti Sahib gave the azan for Marhum Yusuf and Lamiha, who was his nieces and nephews. And he gave those names on passing away, and he even performed their janazah. And this was his great love and how he attracted the hearts of people. And lastly, I would like to mention that my father had great amount of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would spend hours by the Rosa Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one incident comes to mind that he always mentioned to us and advised us that before you go and give salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that give some sadaqah and make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the salam and pass the salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a state in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is happy and smiles upon receiving our salam. And in the last umrah that he went, that he gave thousands of dollars secretively. Thousands of dollars he gave secretively as sadaqah. And we only got to know about this when we saw the receipt of the money exchange. And when we inquired from him that what is this receipt, he mentioned, I did not want anyone to come to know about this. I only wanted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and my Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be happy with this. But anyway, since you have come to know about it, then I will mention that I gave a couple of $1,000 from my own money as sadaqah, so that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is happy with me. So these are some of the great qualities that inshallah that we can all make amal upon also inshallah.
SubhanAllah, Mufti Sahib, it is really truly inspirational to hear these amazing qualities that your father had. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him with the highest reward in Jannat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you people the sabr to deal with the loss of a parent. Is definitely difficult, but most certainly a father of this caliber must be even more difficult. Mufti Sahib, we're going to go for an ad break, and when we come back, we will continue with the program. Okay, so we're having a special tribute. We're taking a look at the life of Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Desai Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, and we're concentrating specifically on his contribution to Islamic finance. With us on the line today is Mufti Sahib's honorable son, Mufti Ismail Desai Sahib. And Mufti Sahib, as you know, in the first part of the program, you gave a very detailed description of your father's most amazing academic background and his very, very, very beautiful and outstanding academic qualities. We can only make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to appreciate these qualities that he had and allows us to walk in those footsteps of your father, to appreciate the service that he had rendered to the entire ummah of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not only people of South Africa, of this country, that benefited from his ulum and his knowledge and his wisdom, but people from across the globe, as Mufti Sahib himself said, students from as far as Canada, USA, Trinidad, the UK, all came and benefited from him and studied under him. Mufti Sahib, if you can maybe very briefly describe the Sharia compliant business campaign which was championed by your father, rahmatullahi alayh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallimu ala rasulil karim, amma ba'd. The Sharia compliant business campaign was born out of a deep desire of my father, rahmatullah alayh, upon seeing the detrimental and non-Sharia compliant business practices of the business community locally and globally. And he had a deep passion to transform the business community where they could move away from haram, non-Sharia compliant dealings to Sharia compliant dealings. And this campaign was started in the year 2002, and I would just like to give and set the background and the setting of this program. This program, the first talk was given by Hazrat Maulana Harun Abbas Umar Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, also one of the most senior students of Allama bin Nuri, Rahmatullah Ali, and a very close friend and colleague of my respected father, Rahmatullah Ali, both of whom have now passed away, and we say, rahimahumallahu ta'ala. And this program, I would like to quote the beginning of the program, of how my father introduced this program. He says, "Once again, I welcome each and every one of you, ahlan wa sahlan, to the Sharia-compliant business campaign of the Darul Ifta Madrasa in Amiya, Kampala. May Allah ta'ala accept this gathering and make this campaign a success. Before we proceed any further, it is important to understand what is a campaign." So this is how the program had begun, and some of the topics that were discussed in that first program included cheating in weight and measure, reneging on agreements, interest, consumer credit, taking wealth by coercion, handling charges on dissolution of transaction, forward cover, syndicated auctions, joint bargaining, investments, etc. So alhamdulillah that this was the first ever time in South Africa wherein an alim of deen had undertaken this task of addressing business related matters from a Sharia compliance perspective. And he would go out of his way to accommodate the attendees of this program to such an extent that those who have attended the program would note that he would give them different gifts. On one occasion, he had given a gift of a mug in which he had provided some pertinent advices on business. And this was the nature of the Sharia compliant business campaign. And alhamdulillah, the Sharia compliant business campaign had been done on many, many occasions. And I had traveled with Walid Sahib Rahmatullah Ali to various places, including Botswana, Johannesburg, Cape Town, PE, Welcome, Pietermaritzburg and different other places in which we have concluded and addressed the Sharia compliant business campaign.
Yes, that was really innovative, as you had outlined, taking the first step in that regard. Now, Mufti Saab, what was your father's prime motivation for setting up the Sharia compliant business campaign?
The prime motivation was essentially the same motivation and the same message which Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, a great Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, had also given the same message. And in fact, he was, Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, was the first person who also had a Sharia compliant business campaign. And this Sharia compliant business campaign, the message of it is in the Quran Sharif itself, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam conscientized these people around giving less and around cheating in weight and measure, etc. Secondly, when Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi was about to pass away, people inquired from him that why didn't you write and make the sneef and compile some work around Kitabul Ibadat or some other important topic? Why did you write a book on Kitabul Buyu? So Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that if the people's business transactions are not Sharia compliant, how would everything else be Sharia compliant? And thirdly, is that we know the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which my father would always quote, طَلَبُ كَسْبِ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيدَةٌ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيدَةِ, that to seek a halal income is a farad after a farad. So in other words, such was the great importance that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam afforded to ensuring that one's wealth is Sharia compliant and halal. And my father would always mention that Islamic finance is not only about how we purchase a vehicle, how we purchase a home, etc. It's also about how we earn our income, how we buy our daily bread and milk. Is that also Sharia compliant? So this was the primary motivation and inspiration for my father in terms of introducing the Sharia compliant business campaign.
So, Mufti Saab, as we know, this Sharia compliant business campaign, this is one of the campaigns that your father championed and he led and he initiated and he guided and he oversaw. But there was many, as far as Islamic finance is concerned, your father was very, very, very much involved in that. Maybe you can tell us some of your father, Rahmatullah Ali's works, his accolades, as far as Islamic finance is concerned.
Gee, many, many accolades. And I would like to mention a few. And perhaps my father was the initial proponent of mainstream Islamic banking in South Africa, and he had started Islamic banking with Ibrahim Patel, or E.B. Patel as he is well known, in South Africa in the early 2000s. And today you have different Islamic banking products in South Africa. And perhaps it was his foresight and insight wherein he had started Islamic banking through FNB. And he had also started the Islamic Finance or Islamic Business Awards at FMB, wherein different businessmen would get awards. Secondly, is that my father had and concluded many, many trips locally, globally, to promote Islamic finance and banking, including in the United States, etc. And also, he has established the Al Mabrur Sharia Compliant Investment Scheme, which alhamdulillah has been extremely successful, and many, many ordinary people or ordinary investors have the capacity to invest their funds in this Sharia compliant investment scheme, which alhamdulillah I was part of in the initial stages in terms of its establishment. And today alhamdulillah it has several billion rands of assets under management. And lastly, my father also ensured that the products, Islamic banking products of HPZ Bank, is also Sharia compliant, and he was their resident Sharia advisor up until his passing away.
Alhamdulillah, so a number of different activities. What works and publications has your father left behind in the field of Islamic finance?
So there are many different works, and perhaps I would like to enumerate three. The first is that my father had issued various fatawa and Islamic legal edicts over the many years on Islamic finance, and attended to different business queries and issues from the community locally and globally. And to add to that, he was perhaps the foremost advisor and mediator and arbitrator on business-related disputes, in which he had saved the business community perhaps, you know, if not hundreds of millions of rands in legal fees, it will definitely amount to millions of rands in legal fees over his vast and illustrious career. I remember once that I was sitting in a dispute with my father, in which the dispute amounted to close to 1 billion rand. And alhamdulillah, my father had the expertise and the foresight to mediate in that dispute. And it is well known how we had mediated in that dispute. And he always had that desire that once the dispute is over, that both the parties must meet, both the parties must have shafqat and love among themselves. And this was his great quality, is that despite people having disputes and arguments, etc., he would make sure that once he had mediated and arbitrated an issue, that he would put both the parties together, make sure that all of the grievances are put aside, and that they have that same shafqat and love and muhabbat. Secondly, is that my father had penned a work called Introduction to Islamic Commerce. And this book, which is a brief book as an introduction to Islamic commerce, has been taught in a few schools, especially in the Al-Falah school based in Durban, upon the advice of Sheikh Irshad Amod, Damat Barakatum, who is one of the senior students of Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, rahmatullahi alayh. And alhamdulillah, that this servant had been given the opportunity to document the second part of that book, Introduction to Islamic Commerce, called Your Brief Guide to Islamic Finance. The name also was given by my father, Your Brief Guide to Islamic Finance. And alhamdulillah, that book consists of close to 300 pages, and it has close to 16 modules on Islamic finance and economics, and has been translated into 7 languages and taught in close to 240 schools globally. Thirdly, is that my father had documented his Sharia-compliant business campaign in book format, which is available at the Darul Ifta, inshallah. And we intend, inshallah, to continue with the Sharia-compliant business campaign, advising the Muslim community locally and globally on matters pertinent or related to business issues and the Sharia compliance thereof.
Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give those noble intentions all the success. You know, as far as the Ummah has definitely lost a pearl in a very, very, very expensive gem in the form of your father in his uloom, giving guidance in Islamic finance, etc. The Muslim Ummah now, the Muslim community, how can we continue seeking guidance? How can we, you know, advance our understanding of Islamic finance and Islamic business as well?
Yeah, alhamdulillah, my father was perhaps the foremost expert and advisor among very few who were advising on matters related to Sharia compliance in business-related issues. He would mediate, he would arbitrate on such issues, etc. And therefore, this is passing away, leaves a very, very huge vacuum in this space for which he was very, very well known, not only in South Africa, but globally. So there are a few advices that I would like to mention regarding this. And this is from my heart, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it if it is good, inshallah. So the first is that my father had many, many students who, some of them are involved in Islamic finance and economics. And inshallah, we should continue to look to seek, to take advice on them, inshallah. Secondly, my father has left behind, as I've mentioned, various works on the subject. And we can also note some of his works on his different websites, like the Ask Imam website, Darul Ifta website, etc. Thirdly, is that there are different courses on Islamic finance that we can use to equip ourselves and educate ourselves on Islamic finance. Alhamdulillah, I am a member of the Ethica Institute of Islamic Finance based in Dubai in the UAE, in which we have educated close to 150,000 professionals on Islamic finance. And we also have the Taif Digital Institute of Islamic Finance. Thirdly, also is that, inshallah, my father had established what is called the Sharia-compliant business campaign. And inshallah, we intend to continue this khidmat and service of deen by continuing the Sharia-compliant business campaign. And inshallah, in the next Sharia-compliant business campaign, we will discuss very pertinent and contemporary issues like cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, mining, fintech, Islamic fintech, crowdfunding, etc., inshallah.
Murisab, what was your father's last wishes, advices, and desires around Islamic finance and Islamic business?
My father's last wishes around Islamic finance could be summed up in three important points. The first is that he had a great desire to eradicate riba and interest. And he would always say that let us leave the intricate issues and complex issues out, and let us focus on the grassroots measures so that we eradicate riba and interest. And he would say that how is it possible that a person with a big beard, a person with a sunnah libas in some far corner of the African continent does not even know that riba and interest is impermissible? And he would always say that while we talk about intricate and complex issues, let us focus on these grassroots issues and don't say that everything is haram, but let us also provide the alternative to that. So it is easy to say that this is haram and that is haram, etc. But do we provide the alternative or not? This is the important thing. So he would always say, seek to provide the alternative in a Sharia compliant manner. His second wish and desire was the Muslim community unites and forms business groupings so that we can move forward with the true spirit of Uhuwa and brotherhood. And this is the advice that he has given to his close associates, that how we can form business groups, formations and associations so that we can assist each other. And this is a very apt advice with the current violence and looting that we see in South Africa, that many Muslim businessmen have lost the entire businesses. But what support mechanisms do we as a Muslim community have to support each other? We don't have any support mechanisms, and now we are scrambling to set up this activity and set up that fund, etc. So we need to form these groupings so that with the true spirit of brotherhood and ukhuwa that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam established, that we also work together and unite to assist each other. And his last wish and desire was that we spread his teachings, we educate, we propagate these teachings, and inshallah, through that, we hope that millions of people will be educated and guided to ensuring that their dealings are 100% Sharia compliant.
Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring that to fruition. Mufti Saab, a great scholar and a mufti in your own right, we would sincerely like to ask you, maybe if you could give us as well as our listeners some parting advices for today.
There are a few thoughts that come to mind, but I would like to encapsulate a campaign that inshallah we will be launching very soon, which is called the Review, Educate and Propagate campaign. So in other words, what the Review, Educate and Propagate campaign entails is that number one is review. That let us review all our financial activities in a Sharia compliant manner. That are our financial activities Sharia compliant or not? Firstly, is our pension scheme Sharia compliant? Is our employment contract Sharia compliant? Are we earning returns? Are we earning dividends in a Sharia compliant manner? Is our investment Sharia compliant? Have we taken out a loan in a Sharia compliant manner? Have I distributed my zakat? Let us review all these things to ensure that our dealings are Sharia compliant. When our dealings are Sharia compliant, then we will notice barakah and blessings in our sustenance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us then higher tawfiq and greater tawfiq to make more ibadat, because inshallah our dealings will be 100% Sharia compliant, and our earnings will also, and our risk will be Sharia compliant. Secondly is educate. Let us educate ourselves. There is so much of material, educational material on the internet and, you know, different scholars and ulama that we can seek advice from. Let us go to these ulama, go to these scholars and get advice from them. We have some questions, etc. Let us pose it to them. So let us educate ourselves on Islamic finance, Sharia compliance, etc. And lastly is let us propagate. When I say propagate, what I mean by propagate is that if we know these teachings, that if we are sitting in some family gathering, etc., let us seek to propagate these teachings, to say to the next person that, look, I've been studying this book on Islamic finance, I have been studying this book on Sharia compliance, you know, I've taken advice from this scholar, etc. Maybe you should also seek his advice first before you do anything. So let us also propagate, because what the hadith says is that that person who propagates good, then he will receive the good and the khair of that goodness until the day of Qiyamah. So even after we have passed away, that the good we have propagated, inshallah, we will receive the reward for all
Ameen,
the good
Ameen.
Until the day of Qiyamah. So with that, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the tawfiq to ensure that our dealings are 100% Sharia compliant, inshallah.
Ameen. Barakallahu feekum. It's certainly been enlightening. Mufti Saab, we appreciate your time. The legacy continue of your marhum father through yourself and through all the students, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti Saab.
That was Mufti Ismail Desai talking to us about the legacy of his marhum father, Mufti Ibrahim Desai, in terms of Islamic finance.